Amen. This is Pastor Daryl Bailey coming to you live on Facebook and also Sermon Audio. What a great privilege it is to come into your homes wherever you are watching this. This goes out to all of our church family at People's Valley Baptist. And want you to just continue to lift up all the many needs. Thank you for the many prayers of my niece's little girl, Piper, these past few days. And so let me see if I can set something right here as well. But it is so good to be able to come into you. We're continuing our sermon series on the book of James. Amen. I thank God each and every one of us as we look and realize how truly blessed that we are. But tonight, as we're going to be in James chapter 4, verses 11 through 17, and I'm going to be talking to you about mending damaged relationships. Amen. Mending damaged relationships out of James chapter 4. Starting with verse 11, going down to verse 17, amen. And so I thank God here as we look at a series on faith that we've been on for some time now. This is August the 9th, 2020, the 19th of AV of 5780 of the Hebrew calendar. And what a tremendous day that it's been. It was a good time at church this morning, fellowshipping. Of course, I want to encourage you to be careful and also to continue to wear your mask and social distancing as well. And I thank God tonight as we pick right back up with a word of prayer and we'll go into our message tonight. And we'll have a short song as well, because there's nothing like worshiping God no matter where you are. And that's a good blessing, amen. And so I send this out to each and every one of our folks at People's Valley. There's been many that's not able to come back right now because of this, and many other churches. And I want to encourage you to be a prayer warrior that we need, and especially all the things that we're going through right now with this virus and a pandemic that's still very much going on everywhere across the world and United States, amen. And so thank God is let's have that word of prayer very quickly. And I want you to remember the many that are in the front lines, those doctors, those nurses, those that are experiencing grief. I want you to be with the U. Bradley family, continue to lift them up and help them with your prayers as they go each day trying to make it through the day with U. Bradley passing on, and we all will miss him tremendously. And thank you for your prayers for each and every one of this nation, especially the up-and-coming months that are ahead of us with the presidential election coming up, all the seats in the House of the Senate, the Congress. There's much to pray for. And I thank you all, the many, especially last Sunday night. Thank you for those 18 that came over to Cass High School, that prayer walk for 2.5 hours through around on the school there, praying for our students as well. So please, let's go without any further delay. Let's go into a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this great honor. And we pray, God, that you'll just intervene in the lives of so many right now. Many that are suffering, many that are going through trials, tribulations, and Lord, sickness. Lord, I ask that you'll just give them strength. Lift them up above the shadows, Father. Lord, plant their feet on higher ground. And Lord, we realize, Lord, that you are a strong and mighty tower that we can run into. We don't have to be afraid. And Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, as you take each and every one of us from People's Valley, use us all for your honor and glory. Lord, what a great privilege it's been just these past 20 years being there, Father. And Lord, we just thank you for this great honor tonight to come into the homes of those that are listening or that will listen later during their own time. And so, Father, bless the Word of God that we read tonight. And Lord, I pray that you'll just add your blessings unto it, that we'll give glory and honor to you. Thank you for all of our relatives, those who are over in Alabama, those around that we work with at the college at Georgia Northwestern Technical. And Lord, be with all of our friends and relatives. And Lord, I pray, may you keep your close and mighty arm about all of them. And Father, thank you for giving us the wonderful blessings of this home, our marriage for the past over 30 years. And Lord, we just give glory and thanks for saving us by your marvelous grace in Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Okay. I thank God as we get ready to go a little bit forward. And before we read our word, let's have that little bit of worship. Man, ain't nothing like worshiping the Lord tonight. Amen. I thank God. This is one, I know I sing it a lot, but this is one of my favorites, amen. This in here, they sing it on the Grand Ole Opry a good bit as well. But it's an old song. A lot of the bluegrass gospel groups sing this song. Angels Rock Me to Sleep. Man, that's, praise God. I tell you, we're going to sing this one of these days, amen. But I thank God. Let's start out. My heart is sad, my soul is weary, while sailing o'er life's rugged main. The clouds are dark, the day is dreary, it seems all earthly help is vain. Angels rock me to sleep, and the cradle of love bear me over the deep to that haven above. When the shadow shall fall and the Savior shall call, angels rock me to sleep in the cradle of love. There's no earthly friend to guide me, no one to point to heaven's goal, but Christ the Savior stays beside me to cheer and comfort my poor soul. Angels rock me to sleep, in the cradle of love, bear me over the deep to that haven above. When the shadow shall fall and the Savior shall call, angels rock me to sleep in the cradle of love. At last the harbor I am nearing, I see the lights along the shore, I hear my friends and loved ones cheering, I'll soon be safe forevermore. Angels rock me to sleep in the cradle of love, bear me over the deep to that haven above. When the shadow shall fall and the Savior shall call, angels rock me to sleep in the cradle of love. Angels rock me to sleep in the cradle of love, in the cradle of love. Amen, boy. Hallelujah. Hey, man, let's get on over into James chapter 4, verses 11 through 17, as we're moving right along. Won't be long that we'll be done with the book of James, amen. Don't forget to tune us in on Wednesdays. Idols of the heart, amen. Most of it coming out of the book of Ecclesiastes, and one of the epistles that will go with it, amen. I thank God as we look at the many idols of money and riches and materialism that turns us away from our relationship with Jesus Christ. That'll be on Wednesdays at around 6:30, 6:45 that will come on. So you tune us in, amen. Thank God tonight as we talk about mending damaged relationships, amen. Boy, I thank God as we look at the wonderful Word of God tonight. The Bible begins to tell us, it says, listen, it says, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. He goes on and he says, there's one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? In verse 13, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanish away. Verse 15, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Verse 16, but now you rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. And lastly, in verse 17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I thank God as we continue our study in the fourth chapter of James, we come to a passage that ought to challenge every one of us. Amen. We've dealt with the struggles that we all face living in a body of flesh and blood and the opportunity to overcome these struggles. But James turns his attention to another set of struggles that are known to plague you and I and humanity. Amen. As we move through these verses, I believe that we'll realize that there'll be times in our life when you have faced these challenges. And I thank God that we as humans are oftentimes when our humanity really shows its best. But this passage begins to speak to us tonight as we struggle with the challenges. And there are likely times when we're more susceptible to engage in such activity. I'm sure as we relate to these particular struggles, each and every one of us, I thank God I like to feel that we have a measure of control over our destiny. But I thank God every one of us, we talk of faith, but many times we want to choose our path and make our own way rather than seeking the Lord and trusting His guidance. But I thank God tonight I look at the reflections of James as we consider a question that he raised in the text. And I thank God as every one of us, as we mend damaged relationships tonight. And so I thank God, each and every one of us from time to time, we have motivations that drive us. But the first thing that we discover out of this is a word regarding our attitude, amen. In James chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, he's talking about don't criticize one another. If you criticize or judge another Christian, you criticize and judge the law. I thank God is the only lawgiver and the judge, and He alone can save and destroy. Who do you think that you are to judge someone else? And so I thank God, James realizes that our attitudes are not always as they should be, particularly in regard to others that are around us. Maybe it's brothers and sisters, or maybe it's co-workers, or there are times when we express those attitudes, and we keep in mind that we will eventually speak what's within the heart. And so we see, first of all, the admonition, the first act of pride that has to do with the nemesis, the tongue. Because it's about slander. Verses 11 and 12 deals with the admonition of slander. And to slander or judge a brother is to criticize and to judge God's law. And you know why? I thank God as He tells us this. We look back over in James chapter 2 verse 8 for the answer of that. Because listen, this is what He tells us. He says, listen, if ye fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. Amen. And so I thank God, each and every one of us, as we look and realize that the admonition or the slander that we criticize those that are around us. Amen. And so He's telling us, don't criticize one another. Don't criticize or judge another Christian. Amen. And He says, speak not evil one of another, brethren. You know, that's simple enough, isn't it? But we've heard similar admonitions all our lives. We were taught as children not to speak if we didn't have something good or something positive to say. And yet many times we're guilty of speaking against our brothers and sisters. And we've got to suppress the desire to condemn or to speak evil of one another, amen. I want to point out that James is speaking directly to the brethren in the church, hallelujah, amen. One that would respect better from those who are born again. And yet, we all know that it's not always the case. Some of the harshest words that have ever been spoken have come from fellow church members out there today. We've got to guard against such attitudes and resolve these harsh words that are being spoken. I thank God, amen. Don Hazel, I believe, used to say a lot of times that you could go on top of the church and, man, you could throw all of the pages of gossip into the wind and it would blow it from all over the place and you'd never be able to retrieve, because when the wind catches it, it goes. And that's exactly what we do when we do things like that and we slander somebody, amen. And so I thank God. Oh, by the way, I want to send out a great blessing and flowers to Brother Scott Walker, amen, and congratulations on the anniversary. Man, what a great choir director and leader and a fine young man. I tell you, I've had the blessings of so many choir directors. You know, I love to work with men that love the passion of Christ, and he sure does. He worshiped the Lord, and just want to send flowers out to Scott Walker, his family, and happy anniversary, brother. I believe, 10 years? Praise God, man. Keep on going. Man, you are an example for us all, and just want to send that love out to him, amen, my brother in Christ, and I appreciate him. Thank God for him. And so we see not only the admonition, but there's clarification of that slander as well, that he tells us, that he goes on and he says, he that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. And so really it puts things in a proper perspective. If we speak evil of another, if we judge them, we're in essence speaking evil of the law of God and judging it. And I know that we live under grace and not under bondage to the law. But the law represents the holiness of God. And it reveals His desire for every one of us in our lives today. And when we speak evil of a brother or sister or a child of God, judging them, we have actually spoken evil of God's Word and the Lord Himself. And so we got to learn how to mend those damaged relationships. If we judge another because of their convictions, we might as well say that God's Word is too strict and we shouldn't be following. And so many of our day approve that which the Word condemns, and we judge another because they're not living as we think they should. And you know, we don't have that right. We could very well be guilty of adding to the Word and placing undue restrictions on those who enjoy the liberty in Christ. Many become legalistic and judge others unnecessarily. And so the admonition, the clarification and the identification that he's talking about, that he tells us, he said, but if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There in verse 11, amen. He's speaking, James is, of those who feel as if they've reached a level of spiritual superiority. And they have judged others for their behavior, whether known or not, judge the law of God as well. In essence, these have excused themselves from the accountability to God and have become a judge of what is right and wrong instead of one submitted to Christ and to His Lordship. And so this is powerful when we consider the depth that what James reveals. Judgmental attitudes convey that we know what is best for others in regarding how they should have behaved and respond to the Word, rather than we realize it or not, convey that we have a right to judge somebody else, determine what is acceptable and what isn't. And so keep that in mind, that the next time you want to offer a judgmental word to somebody, you better keep it to yourself and ask the Lord to give you good things to say about people. Give flowers to them, hallelujah. Lift them up. Be an encourager as a man and woman of God, amen. And so I thank God how wonderful it is to be able to see this, as it tells us in verse 12, of that confirmation, that he says, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? And so I thank God we realize that our Lord is the only lawgiver that is able to pardon and that's able to condemn, amen. We've got no right to assume the role of that what God possesses, amen. And so I thank God, every one of us, as I've been a Baptist all my life, and I thank God, I believe the Baptist doctrine, amen, because it agrees with biblical doctrine, amen. I stand on the Word of God. There's changes that are coming across out there today that are not biblical, and I'm going to tell you, I will sit down, I'll stand up any day of the week, and I will go with you about the biblical doctrines, not because it's Baptist, but because it's the Word of God, amen. And when you stray away from the Word of God, you better look out, because you're opening up that church and you're opening up everybody in that body of Christ for the things that are not right according to God's holy and infallible Word, amen. Boy, I don't know what got me off on that, but boy, if you needed it, praise God, amen. Hey, I thank God that every one of us, as we look and realize that many of us are quick to condemn and judge simply because they don't line up with every aspect of philosophy out there today. But I thank God, each and every one of us, I know that there's been so many things. I remember when I went to Germany, amen. I actually went into Holland. And because I'm an old country boy, some of them guys judge me because of the way I talk, amen. It's sad that there's people like that. But whatever it is that they do, I can do, amen. Whatever skill they got, I've got it, amen. It doesn't matter what you wear, what kind of apparel you've got on, how that your talk, where you come from, what side of the tracks, amen. God loves every one of you, amen. And so there's a word regarding our attitude toward this, that we need to learn how to mend those damaged relationships, but also a word regarding our anticipation, amen. In verses 13, 14, and 15, we see the plan of life. And this deals with boasting all the way down from verse 13 all the way down to the end of verse 17 is talking about boasting. Amen. And I thank God James tells us Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. You know, James is dealing with the plans that we make for our lives. And there's nothing wrong with us making plans for our lives. But he illustrates one who makes a decision to enter into a particular city, planning to stay there for a year, a specific amount of time, and with the purpose of buying, selling, and making a profit. In and of ourselves, plans are not wrong. Amen. But I think that we should plan and prepare for our future. Those who fail to plan and plan to fail, however, our plans must be consistent with God's plans and will for our lives. I don't know about you, but if there's rough times that are going to come ahead from September, October and November during that presidential election, hey, then you better go put some canned goods back. You better go get some survival rations and put them back. You better get some more water and put in your pantry, amen. You better put a couple things back. Maybe put a couple shotgun shells back, amen. Put a couple bullets back, amen. But I thank God, every one of us, we all make plans, but we need to be consistent with God's plans, and he knows the will for all of our lives. We must be willing to go where he leads, staying as long as he sees fit, and find contentment with what he provides. And it's okay to make plans. Just make sure that you don't leave God out of the planning process, amen, because sometimes that's what we do so many times. That's one of the mistakes that we make, and we've got to go back and mend damaged relationships because of it. And so it's the plan of life, verse 13, but the perplexity of that life, that boasting, is in verse 14 that he tells us this. He says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanish away. How many funerals that I've done and I've used this scripture, amen. He tells us, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. Here we discover a simple and a profound truth. Like, life is complex. Plans can and do change each and every day. James is reminding all of us that we have no way of knowing what a day will bring forth. We don't know what's going to happen in September. Maybe we heard something on the Facebook. Maybe we heard something on the internet that has got our warnings up, and we're really watching the news and the things out there today. Amen. We can arrive at a plan that we'll be happy with and determined to pursue, but circumstances of life may cause us to change our plans and alter our course. Amen. We don't know, amen, when a chemical car out on the railroad tracks is going to derail and all of a sudden have to leave your home and everything in a moment's notice, and all you got is enough time to get your grab bag and all of your goodies with it and take them out of there and lock up your place before that chemical gets to where you're at. You never know, amen, today. And so we've got to be able, we must not drive our stakes too deep. Be careful requiring a particular circumstances or surroundings to dictate your existence and happiness in your home, amen. If your life is built upon anything other than a relationship with Christ, you're destined to fall. You say, why? Because, listen, there's no way you could be successful in everything you want to, but you'll never be happy without Jesus Christ in your heart and life. You know what? You could work hard and all the energy that you have as a man or a woman to make your marriage work, but you know what? You won't have to work as hard if you'll let the Lord be in the center of that marriage. And so it's all about Jesus, amen, and including him in the very center of everything in your life and in your home. There's nothing wrong with settling down, owning a home, having friends and possessions, but the foundation of our lives must be Jesus Christ, hallelujah. And that's what James is telling us, amen. He says, here's the plan, here's the perplexity, but he says the path of life of this boasting, amen. He tells us, he says, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanished away. This reminds every one of us of the brevity of life, that we're here for only a brief, fleeting moment in time. When we were young, we felt as if we had the world by the tail. And you know what? Nothing could hinder or prevent our plans, amen. Before we know it, we all reach middle age and begin to look at our life. Why, man, I remember when I worked for Atlantic Steel up on 14th Street in Atlanta. Why, man, I'd get on a motorcycle, put my leather on. I'd ride over there every day and go back and forth on that motorcycle and never thought a thing about it, amen, because I thought, wow, I'm young. I got leather to keep the hide on me. You know, man, I'm invincible. But none of us are invincible, amen. And there's coming a time when we're slowing down and we're going to have to pass on things to the next generation of faith of our sons and daughters. Let them continue to carry the torch, amen, because we ain't always going to be able to do what we've been doing, amen. And there's nothing wrong with that. I thank God, look and realize that we're in our senior years now. And I thank God it didn't seem like it was long ago that we got out of high school, but that's how things are, amen. It didn't seem like a boot camp was too long ago. Amen. But that's how it is. It's been a long time. Amen. Been a long time since all of those days. Life is short and we're here for a little while and then we're gone. The best made plans cannot prevent death. If the Lord doesn't come soon, then we're all going to go by the way of the grave. But whatever our plans include, we must ensure that we're ready to meet the Lord when our time to leave this world comes, amen. I'm looking for the rapture, amen. Up and away, hallelujah, amen. But knowing Christ and salvation is the uttermost important that eternity awaits every born-again Christian right now, amen. And so we see the plan and the perplexity and the path. But I thank God also in verse 15 of the boasting of this, the perspective that's in the life. Because he says, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. I thank God it reminds me of the man that came by and, you know, he was on a motorcycle and he come by the preacher over there on an old dirt road. And preacher said, where you going at? And he says, I'm going over here on the other side of town over here. And I'm gonna sell my motorcycle. And he says, well, you ought to say that. If it's the Lord will, you're going to go on the other side of town, amen. And he said, nah, that's all right. So finally, it's about an hour or so. Finally, the preacher, he sees that dirt road, and there's a man coming up through there, and his britches are all torn up. His knees are all skint to hide off of. He's bleeding real bad, amen. And so he gets over to the preacher. The preacher said, well, what happened? What happened? He said, well, man, you know, I got over there, I ran out of gas. And so, as I was doing that, I came up to a lady's farm there, and she had a shotgun. And she shot me full of buckshot, and I stumbled down, fell, and I've been picking that out. I've got this far back, and it's been a pretty bad day. And he says, what you going to do now? He says, well, I'm going to try to get back over there and see about getting my motorcycle and make some amends on that thing, if it's the Lord's will. Amen. You know, I thank God, as the Bible says, for that you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, that she shall live and do this or that. Amen. And so here James speaks of an undeniable fact that the Lord is the sovereign control of our lives. Amen. He's controlling everything right now. He's got a plan. You say, man, it looks like chaos out there. Looks like nothing's under control. Looks like there's no plan. God's got a plan for the church. God's got a plan in these days. Amen. You don't know it. I don't know it. But I'm going to tell you something. According to the Word of God, we just got to stay on our knees in the Word of God and continue to trust our Lord and Savior, because He's got a plan. It's in the works. It has been for such a long time. Why, man, before time ever began, He already had the plan. And so I think about it here of all the things that we have little control over our lives, even those things that are enabled of God. He gives us the strength. He gives us the presence of mind to do even the most mundane task, amen. And our lives are literally in His hands, hallelujah. Jesus said, for without me, ye can do nothing, amen. And I know that goes against human nature, but we feel like that we need to have control over our lives. But in reality, God controls everything in our lives. And you've got to have that faith, amen. In fact, if you could learn to allow Him to have complete control of our lives, they would be much simpler. They'd be much more filled with more joy and happiness, amen. Those who have completely surrendered their entire being to Christ have less worry. They live peaceable lives, and it's available to all, but we must surrender, amen. And so we see the attitude and the anticipation. But lastly, we see the arrogance of mending damaged relationships. There is a word regarding our arrogance, amen. James closes this line of thought with a word about the arrogance that we must guard against. And that is, as we look at boasting still, the presence of boasting that he tells us, he says, but now you rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicings is evil. You know, he says, but now you're proud and you boast And all of the boasting that you're doing is wrong. And I thank God. I thank God as we look and realize, whether consciously or even publicly, we all tend to boast somewhat in our attitudes and in our anticipation. And we tend to assume that we have it all figured out sometimes. We think that we know what's best for others regarding their spiritual lives and are often quick to point out their weaknesses. And we like to think that we have our lives all planned out for the very best, amen. But sadly, we often fail to recognize the arrogance and the pride in such thinking. And we pass our judgmental attitudes off as a spiritual zeal and our anticipation for the future as well-made plans. And so, as we've discussed, we always ensure that our motives are pure and in every aspect of life. And so we see the presence of boasting, and the peril in that boasting is all such rejoicing, the Bible says, is evil. That's a sobering word, because James declares that such rejoicing and arrogance is evil. And he says it is a sin against God. We may think that God is pleased with our spiritual assessments of others, but he detests it as sin. And we may assume that God's pleased when we have thought out and planned every detail of our lives, but if we have left him out of that process, that too is a sin. And our attitude must be measured with godly compassion and based on biblical instruction, not human tradition or preference. And our anticipation for the future must be consistent with God's will for our lives, giving him the priority and living in the full submission as well. I'm down to my very last verse. Looks like I've been at it for about 35 minutes, and that's getting close to my time. As I'm very appreciative of you tuning me in, and I want to be appreciative of not being too long-winded. But lastly, in closing, we look to postponement through boasting in verse 17. And he tells us, he says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. You know? And so then, if we do not do the good that we know we should do, we're guilty of sin. And so the mending of damaged relationships, here is an application for all of our lives that we could properly use this verse in many spiritual applications. But again, we need to keep it in its context, because James speaks of refraining to do good when we know when and how to do it as sin. Because looking at the text, is every attitude we have consistent with the Word of God? Have we not all been convicted of an attitude but refused to change our ways because it served our desired purpose sometimes? Have we not all been guilty of being judgmental at some point? And if so, have we sought forgiveness for all of those things? And in regard to our attitudes, we know what God's desires of us, and yet many times our attitudes remain unchanged. That constitutes sin in our lives. And I'm speaking about myself tonight. I don't know anything about your life. I only know about my life, and I know that I need to get closer, even closer every day in our lives with our Lord and Savior, to be more like him and to be the very mirror image of him. And so our anticipation for the future, as James closes out, we always need to seek God's will for our lives as we plan our future. We submit to his leading, even if his guidance is contrary to our wants and desires. And if we're willing to follow the Lord and serve at his leisure, doing what he asked, where he leads, for as long as he desires, we'll often make plans, but many times we fail to seek the Lord in our planning, or we fail to submit to his will. And so when we realize what God desires of us, and yet we fail to respond, we've sinned. But in either case, we're putting off what the Lord has revealed to us because it didn't fit our attitude or our plans. Amen. Boy, I thank God, as this is a very challenging time of Scripture, I'm certain that every one of us can relate to it. And we've all have attitudes that are not pleasing to the Lord. But we also been guilty of making plans and even living our lives at times without seeking or doing the will of God. We've got to remember that such behavior is sinful, and we need to repent of it and forsake it for the glory of God and allow him to guide our thoughts, our attitudes toward others, and our daily lives. Amen. I thank God every morning. Start out with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Pray the armor of God upon you before you get that cup of caffeine and that cup of coffee. And believe me, I love coffee. I'm a coffee man. But I'm going to tell you, every one of us, start out with prayer at night and in the morning. Put on the whole armor of God. Pray it on. Amen. And I thank God. I'm reminded, with the brevity of life, that there's appointed time for each of us to stand before God. Hebrews 9:27, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Hey, should that be today? Are you ready to meet the Lord? Are you ready? If you're listening to me out there in Facebook, in sermon audio, you know for certain that you've been saved. Christian, are you there? Are there areas in your life that need to address some things prior to standing before the Lord in that judgment seat? If so, I wouldn't hesitate. You may meet Him sooner than later. Maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow. But I want to have a word of prayer as I close out with each and every one of you. Father, for those tonight, they never remember asking Jesus Christ to come into their heart and life. And I ask you, Lord, please help them, Lord. Help them to be more like you in everything that they do. Lord, help them, Lord, to be able to look to you for their plans. And Lord, listen for the guidance of their thoughts. Let the Holy Spirit lead them, Lord. And I ask you, God, that you be with the many out there that's never made a commitment to Christ. Lord, as they come for you tonight, a lost sinner, Lord, without Christ, I pray for their salvation wherever they are. For all of our church families, for those that are on our prayer list, I pray for their salvation to be saved and to be brought into the family of God. Thank you for the great honor of breaking the bread of life unto the sheepfold out of the book of James. Lord, as we continue going forward each and every day, bless those that are around us, bless our co-workers, bless our relatives, bless our brothers and sisters, our husbands and wives, our sons and daughters. And Lord, I thank you for the great privilege of opening up the Word of God tonight in Jesus' marvelous, mighty name. Amen.